Hecatan's 14th Fireborn stood shoulder to shoulder with divisions from the Iron Hands. The warriors of the 10th Legion were armored in black ceramite, with a white hand insignia emblazoned upon their left shoulder guards. Several carried augmentations, fingers, cybernetic eyes, entire skulls or bionic limbs to replace those lost in battle. They were a stern sight, as cold and granite-like as their Medusan home world. But they were stalwart, and Hecatan welcomed them in his ranks. For once, his company was part of the second wave, arrayed behind the fire drakes. Vulcan was a distant figure at their center, surrounded by the fabled Pyre Guard. The rest of the Iron Hands, the elite warriors who called themselves the Morlocks, were with their Primarch on the other side of the battlefield. Hecatan had spoken briefly with their captain, an Iron Hand called Gabriel Santar, before a plan of attack was drawn up. The equerry's bionics were extensive. Both of his legs and his left arm were machine, not flesh. The effect initially dehumanized him for Hecatan, but after mere minutes of talking with him, the salamander learned he was a wise and temperate warrior who fostered a deep respect for the 18th Legion. Hecatan hoped this would not be the last time he fought alongside the noble first captain of the Iron Hands. Hecatan had heard the survivor of the Army Scouts massacre had provided vital information in locating the Eldar's last node. As suspected, this node was utterly unlike the others. He could see it easily above the divisions in the front lines, a vast white stone arch that swept into the sky like a talon. In common with the psychic node Vulcan had destroyed, the arch was engraved with arcane runes and bejeweled with gemstones. It stood in the center of an immense clearing, barren save for a dozen or so broken columns that jutted from the ground, the architecture of an ancient or forgotten culture. Even the jungle canopy had been stripped back to accommodate the arch, or rather had grown up in organic empathy with it. Massive roots and vines, thicker than Hecatan's armored leg, entwined the plinth-like base and coiled all over the surface as if it had been dormant for many centuries. Several lesser menhirs encircled the arch. Before each one stood one of the remaining witch coven. They were chanting, or rather singing. Psychic energy played between them, creating a circuit of crackling light that formed an iridescent shield around the arch. Together with their psychers, the aliens had amassed the entirety of their forces in defense of this last edifice. Cloaked and armored Eldar were arrayed in ranks opposing the Imperium. Anti-gravity gun platforms hovered between the enemy cohorts, who were differentiated by the runic symbols on their faces and conical helms. A great herd of raptor riders occupied one flank. A score of brutal carnadons anchored the other. The beasts champed and snorted at one another, pawing at the ground in agitation. Above them, the jungle canopy rustled with the susurrus of shifting membranous wings and shrilled with the high-pitched bleat of pterosaurs. Slower-moving stegosaurs lumbered into position, responding to the sudden presence of the Imperial forces. Heavy cannons were attached to their broad backs, managed by a crew of Eldar inside, an elegant howdah. Having clashed with the aliens twice already, Hecatan knew pitched battle was not where they excelled. But the Legion had broken their ambushes, and the Primarch had destroyed their node with a single hammer strike. Outmatched, they had little choice now but to stand and fight. Certainly, they were all willing to die in defense of this edifice. Hecatan could only guess at the arch's purpose. Allegedly, it was a gate, although to where it led was unknown. He only knew his duty was to kill the aliens protecting it. Still several hundred meters from the edge of the battle, the order to advance flashed up on his retinal display. As well as the 14th Fireborn, Hecatan had several Farian cohorts in his charge and gave clipped and immediate deployment orders to their discipline masters. With the army divisions mobilizing, he had time for a last message to a friend. "Bring the fires of Prometheus to them, brother," he said to Gravius across the feed. "Aye, Vulcan is with us. I'll see you at the end, Hecaton." Hecaton cut the link and turned to his command squad. Battered, but still at full strength, the salamanders looked ready for some retribution for the wounding they'd received at the hands of the warlock.
"Into the fires of battle, Captain," said Brother Tuvar,
who'd survived the blade through his chest with typical resilience. A salvaged bolt pistol sat in Hecaton's holster to replace the one he'd lost. His chainsword still carried the stains of that battle. He lifted it into the air and cried out,
14th Fireborn, on my lead! To the anvil, brothers!"